KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's been a huge, huge month at the United States Supreme Court as some major decisions have been handed down even today. You know, if you recall, just a few weeks ago, we discussed the masterpiece cake decision. Today, a victory was handed down to pregnancy centers and free speech rights. In addition, a victory was rendered for the Trump administration in regard to protecting our nation by means of a travel ban. And other significant decisions also being made this month, and also the implications from some of these decisions are impacting other cases. But we've invited back one who has argued before the United States Supreme Court, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. He's a founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. They're a nonprofit litigation education policy organization dedicated to advancing religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the family. Matt has had two landmark cases before the highest court. He is a host of radio programs, Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. Matt, it's been quite a month there at the Supreme Court.
It's been an amazing month and an incredible day on many, many fronts across the board, from religious freedom to free speech to the executive authority, and much more is still coming.
Well, Matt, before we get into the discussions of what's taking place this month and decisions today, I think it's also important just to remember, and it was 3 years ago today that the United States Supreme Court handed down a decision in which a majority of justices indicated that so-called same-sex marriage is a constitutional right. It's a decision from Obergefell versus Hodges. So before we talk about what happened today, Matt, what impact has this Obergefell decision had from 3 years ago? How is that impacting us today?
Well, it's a shameful decision because, as Chief Justice John Roberts noted in his dissent, it's not based on the Constitution nor on the court's precedent. It is just simply an imposition of the will of five individuals to overrule the marriage laws of a number of states and thus affect the rest of the country. And the impact has been very difficult on issues across the board. Obviously, Kim Davis, right after that, was the first person to spend time in jail over the conflict between her sincerely held religious beliefs and the Obergefell marriage opinion. And she's not going to probably be the last one. We also saw conflicts. We saw Jack Phillips as a conflict. He ultimately won that case on a very specific issue regarding free exercise of religion, between a conflict of his religious beliefs and being forced to participate in a same-sex ceremony. And more of those cases are going to come down the pipe. So I think it's been a very negative decision, but most of all, it is a decision that's not based on the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And any decision that's not based on the Constitution weakens the rule of law. I think it weakens the judicial branch, and I think it'll ultimately be relegated to the trash bins of history, where many of these renegade decisions have been relegated over the years.
Well, Matt, it was in March of this year that you were on Crosstalk here, and we were discussing the oral arguments that were taking place in a case known as NIFLA versus Becerra. NIFLA is the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. Becerra is the Attorney General of California. So tell us about the decision handed down today and just also a glimpse as to what this case was about.
Well, it's huge. This is the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, known as NIFLA, and it's versus Becerra, the Attorney General in California. It's one of four cases pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. This is the one that was actually argued because it arrived there first. We also have one, the Mountain View right-to-life case. It also represents crisis pregnancy centers. There's actually four cases that are pending there. All four are going to benefit by this decision. This was a case that ultimately ruled that California violated the First Amendment by requiring licensed pregnancy centers and unlicensed pregnancy centers to post a notice or a disclaimer about their services. And the good news is, in a very strongly worded, very broad decision, 5-4 opinion, the court ultimately found that this violated the First Amendment. This also includes Justice Kennedy. The decision is exceptionally good for so many reasons. One, it helps the crisis pregnancy centers. Two, it's going to apply across the board with a very strong free speech argument. Three, it'll actually undo many of these change counsel kinds of laws that ban change counsel for someone seeking unwanted same-sex sexual attractions. We'll talk about that in a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it's also going to have an impact on another case coming down to the pipe at some point in the future where you have a collision, like the Jack Phillips case, between religious freedom and being compelled to speak in support of a same-sex ceremony. This First Amendment case today is going to have a huge impact.
It is. And again, folks, this was a 5-4 decision handed down today. And Matt, the law that was created by these California legislators actually required pro-life Californians to advertise a practice they believe is murder.
That's right. In fact, for the licensed pregnancy centers, you had to post a 29-word message that included a telephone number on where you could get free or low-cost abortions. And it had to be in 48-point font, and if you're in Los Angeles County, it had to be in 13 different languages. The message would overpower anything to the contrary. And for the unlicensed pregnancy centers, you had to post a notice of disclaimer, and it had to be in the same or greater size font than any kind of message that you posted, and also up to 13 languages if you were in Los Angeles County, for example. So in other words, the messages of the state regarding abortion, even referring people to abortion, overpowered the messages of the pro-life centers. Even if you wanted to have a billboard that just said Choose Life with the Crisis Pregnancy Center name, not even advertising the services that it provides, you would have to have this disclaimer of 29 words in massive font. And if you're in Los Angeles County or other places, up to 13 languages, depending upon the different county. Some languages are more, some languages are less, depends upon the county. But notwithstanding, the message of the state promoting abortion would overpower the pro-life message of the crisis pregnancy centers. This was a clear violation of the First Amendment, and the court struck it down today.
Matt, Justice Breyer, in his dissent, seemed to make his greatest focus on the 13 languages of the disclaimer he said concern Los Angeles County alone. He said it might show a need for fewer languages, not invalidation of the statute. I mean, to me, he was missing the whole point of this case.
Yeah, because, the other counties actually require a number of languages as well. It depends upon the county in terms of how many official languages are recognized by the local government authorities. So it's not the number of languages.
Mm-hmm.
It's not whether it's one language or 13 languages or something in between. That's not the point. The point is you have to have messages crafted by the government that are bigger than or at least the same size, depending upon whether you're licensed or unlicensed, that actually promotes a government message. So, for example, if you're a licensed pregnancy health center that's providing free services to people, pro-life, saving children, even if you have to have one language and you create a brochure, and that brochure talks about your services, then you have to have even one language, 48-point font. Put that on a computer, the 29 words, and expand it to 48-point font. It goes to 2.5, 3.5 pages. So this huge disclaimer, this huge notice, literally overpowers anything that you do. It turns a small brochure into a book, if you will, or a small booklet with the government's message being forced onto the crisis pregnancy center. That's a clear violation of the First Amendment. Anybody who doesn't see that is blinded by the abortion issue, is an ideologue rather than a constitutionalist, and that's unfortunately, I think, what you see with some of these dissenters. But, the good news is this court has really strong language. We may not have time to get into some of the specifics, but it has really strong language on this case, and it applies far beyond this case, and it will specifically apply to the counseling cases. On page 7, for example, of this opinion, it cites our two cases, Liberty Counsel's two cases, one from the Ninth Circuit out in California, the pickup case, and one from the Third Circuit over in New Jersey, the King case. Page 7, it cites them, and it says those two cases set up a separate category called professional speech and gave it less protection. Those cases are our cases. Those cases were ones we asked the Supreme Court to review, but they didn't yet. But I can tell you what.
They kind of have, haven't they? Yeah.
Because these are now expressly overruled by this decision. And it's not just going to be those cases. It's going to be all the other cases that we have currently pending challenging this very issue. In fact, tomorrow or this week in Massachusetts, they're considering a similar kind of counseling ban. In California, tomorrow, there's a vote in one of the Appropriations Committee on a counseling ban that applies to adults. There's already one there that applies to minors. We just filed a case in Tampa earlier this year, Florida, and just recently in Boca Raton and Palm Beach counties, we're filing them across the country. This case will ultimately put an end to that nonsensical ban of change counsel that is ultimately hurting clients and interfering with the doctor-client relationship.
And folks, this is what many refer to as the ban on conversion therapy, and that's what Matt's referring to, Matt. And I see that this case, I mean, as you look at it, they made a big issue of professional speech. So let's define that a little bit more, what they had to say on this issue of professional speech. How does that all tie into this?
Well, see, the argument from California, and this is what they argued when we litigated against them, both in the crisis pregnancy center cases and in the previous case regarding the counseling ban. They said, well, there's a new category. It's called professional speech. And so you can speak this as an individual, but if you're licensed by the government to provide a certain kind of procedure or counsel or service, if you're licensed by the government, well, that's professional speech, and you don't have as much of a First Amendment right. And so what the court ultimately did is cite these cases, our cases, King and Pickup. And they said these cases created a special category for professional speech. But then it goes on to say, quote, but this court has not recognized professional speech as a separate category of speech. Speech is not unprotected merely because it is uttered by professionals. And it goes on to say that it would be so broad if you created a category of professional speech, it could apply to truck drivers or doctors or a whole category of people. All the government would have to do to censor your speech is require whatever you're doing to be licensed. And then they can stop you from speaking and force you to speak their own message. And the Supreme Court expressly, soundly rejected that approach. So this is great news, not only for the crisis pregnancy centers, but for the counseling bans where a client wants to get counsel for unwanted same-sex attractions, a behavior, or gender confusion. And these governments are saying, no, you can't do that. In fact, you have to affirm their unwanted desires or behaviors or gender confusion. And so it's broad beyond just those issues. It's going to apply to a broad category. And that's why Breyer and the other three that joined him in dissent, that's why he does not like this case. He doesn't like it because he sees the handwriting on the wall. And you know what? This case also will affect these collisions between religious free speech and the LGBT agenda.
We're going to come back with that after the break. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. We're talking about significant decisions handed down from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what are comets made of?
Chris, comets are sometimes referred to as dirty snowballs. They're mainly ice, but with a lot of solid particles mixed in. As a comet goes around the sun, the solar heat and solar wind vaporize part of a comet, and we see the tail as those particles are stripped away. Now we find that sometimes not only is the tail stripped away, but sometimes the head is lopped off, speeding up the comet's disintegration. Obviously, comets can't last too long, thus they are a strong sign of a recently created universe. The Bible refers to these comets as wandering stars that don't follow the standard motion of the stars or the planets. They were created on day 4 of creation week, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, it's truly amazing, and shall I say even an answer to prayer, that the U.S. Supreme Court today gave victory here for the crisis pregnancy centers, the centers, and as far as their First Amendment rights, but also having an impact on so many other issues. And that's what's most significant about this decision, Matt. It's not really just confined to, you know, having to put up this poster in the pregnancy resource centers as far as font size and type and a number of languages, but the ramifications are absolutely huge with this case, Nifla versus Becerra.
Yeah, they are huge. And, you know, this is even more significant than the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop. You remember a couple of weeks ago, the media was saying, well, you know, that case is so limited, it just applies to Jack Phillips with Masterpiece Cake Shop. And we said, no, it has a broader implication than that. And you know what? It's now ultimately affected the florist, Baronelle Stutzman. We can talk about that in a few moments.
Right.
But this case here, I don't know how in the world they're going to get around the implications of this case, because they are written right there in black and white. They're huge. And they not only affect these crisis pregnancy centers, but they also affect free speech in general. They affect any compelled speech that the government wants you to carry their message, which means the Jack Phillips kind of case. Jack Phillips, as you remember, was not decided under the free speech clause. It was decided under the free exercise clause. So that question has not been specifically addressed. I said when Masterpiece Cake Shop came down that this case coming up, NIFLA, would lay the foundation for a return to the Supreme Court on the issue of the clash between the First Amendment free speech and religious freedom in the context of the LGBT agenda. And here it is. But then beyond that, to make matters even, to put the cherry on top of the cake, two of our cases are expressly overruled.
Mm-hmm.
These are cases that went the wrong way. The arguments that we've always made in our cases regarding the Change Council are the exact same arguments, down to the cases that we cite, that we have made in our previous briefs. So our arguments have been affirmed. And we're just now waiting to take these cases back to the U.S. Supreme Court and overturn all these counseling bans nationwide.
Matt, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, issued a press release late morning after this decision came out. Here's a couple of quotes. They're saying the Supreme Court just ruled that fake women's health centers can continue with their deceptive practices. Here's another line. We're going to keep fighting with everything we have to end the lies at fake women's health centers and the lies from President Trump and his administration and the end of lies from the anti-choice politicians in state legislatures and Congress, because women deserve the truth. I laughed when I said that, because they're all
the
about
truth.
They're all about deception.
They want to give them. So why do they not want to get informed consent from the women so that they know the risk and they know that abortion is actually taking the life of a human being? Because they really don't want the truth.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's like the phrase, they're afraid of the truth. And so what do? They create fake news. You know, what else are they going to say under these kinds of situations?
Mm-hmm.
They're crying today for good reason, because they lost, and they lost big time. They're not going to be able to come back with these kinds of rulings. They can whine. They can do their fake news. They can go out to their different groups to try to raise funds. But I can tell you what, they lost big time. And what really won is not even free speech. Certainly it won. It's a huge victory across the board. But what really won is those crisis pregnancy centers specifically that are out there every day, people that have dedicated their lives to saving human lives. They can rip that today as we speak. Those notices, if any of them have them, they can throw them into the trash bin because they are no longer required. And they have won, and it's the lives of these children who will be saved. Many children will be saved because they're not going to have to direct people to places that will ultimately kill their precious children. They can continue the ministry and speak their message as they've always done in the past.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. And Matt, you were with us just a few weeks ago here on the program. Matter of fact, you were in the Supreme Court when the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision was released, and we talked with you. And one of the things we wondered at that time, how will this decision impact Baronelle Stutzman's from Arlene's Flowers? And the court, U.S. Supreme Court, did something significant this week on the matter.
Yeah, here's what they did. In Masterpiece Cake Shop, as you know, they didn't rule on the free speech clause. They said there was not enough information in the record to do that, but they ruled on the free exercise clause. And what they ruled on was that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission violated the neutrality of the First Amendment by making negative comments or denigrating a person's religion, not taking them seriously. Well, after that case came down, a supplemental brief was filed at the U.S. Supreme Court in the Arlene Flowers case, Baronelle Stutzman, the 73-year-old woman who prepares flower arrangements for lots of different things, including weddings. And she refused to prepare a flower arrangement for a same-sex wedding. She knew this individual, her client, her customer, for about 10 years. They had good relationships, and she told him that she could not do this because it violated her sincerely held religious beliefs. Well, you know what? The same thing happened to her that happened to Jack Phillips, because the Washington Attorney General, he ultimately came after her, and he made denigrating comments about her religion. In fact, in Masterpiece, the Civil Rights Commission, or person on that commission, compared Jack Phillips' beliefs to religious beliefs that supported slavery. The Supreme Court said it is reprehensible to compare a religious belief to slavery, someone who supports slavery. Well, guess what happened in Baronelle Stutzman? They said the same thing. This is no different than somebody's religious beliefs supporting slavery or supporting segregation, as it was when certain people of certain races couldn't marry Caucasians. It's the same. So they were denigrating, they were criticizing, they were using a person's faith to essentially say they're a racist. And that's exactly what the Attorney General did. So guess what the Supreme Court did? They granted the petition, they set aside the ruling below, and they sent it back down to the court below to say, you need to review this in light of our decision. Now, the handwriting's on the wall. If Masterpiece got reversed because of this, guess what? The lower court that this is going to go back to for Baronelle Stutzman needs to reverse as well.
Is that the Washington Supreme Court?
That's the Washington Supreme Court. So remember, Jim, when we were talking about how some of the media was saying, and I think you even read some of them, how limited Masterpiece is?
Yes.
This applies to him?
Yes.
Guess what? It's not so.
Yeah.
We said it wasn't so, and the Supreme Court's already applied it, already within 2 weeks, applied Masterpiece to another case, and I think there's going to be, and that's a big victory already. And you think, well, that's narrow because it only applies to the decision maker. Well, you know what? Having been in this litigation arena for so many years, I can tell you that what happened in Jack Phillips, what happened in Baronelle Stutzman is not unusual. What we find are discriminatory treatments, whether they're based on comments made by the decision maker or the courts, or whether they're based on the fact that there's different treatment that's granted based upon the subject matter of your message. I can tell you that that discrimination is there on abortion and on the issue of LGBT or marriage between a man and a woman. If you have those views, what we find is that decision makers, more often than not, that we've encountered, have discriminatory treatment. So the implications of the Masterpiece case is going to have a big impact, and already has, for Baronelle Stutzman.
How likely will the Washington Supreme Court to get this back and say, oh yes, let's reverse our decision? I mean, do they really have a choice in the matter?
You know, they don't want to do it. But it's like they are the lower court, and they just got slapped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been a couple of cases with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out in California, headquartered in San Francisco, that governs the western states, that it has ultimately ruled one way. The Supreme Court reversed and sent back and said, now look at it in light of this, and they ruled the same way, and the Supreme Court then said, we're not going to give you another bite at it. We're done with you, and chastised them for doing so. So no court, no judge wants to have their name or their court chastised like that. Sometimes it has to happen. But when this happens, it's a shot over the bow, and they have to swallow hard and they have to do what they're told to do.
Wow. Matt, another significant issue coming forth, victory really for the Trump administration as it relates to the travel ban.
Yeah, and you know what? President Trump now has his name in a big Supreme Court decision, and it's the Trump versus Hawaii case. This is a great decision for so many reasons. If you read it, and I have done that, it certainly comes in favor of President Donald Trump and any president's authority to issue travel bans. In fact, it shows how unique Trump's travel ban is compared to travel bans from Reagan and Carter and the Bushes and Obama. In that, number one, it has lots of information about why it's justified, whereas, for example, a couple of the other presidents have a sentence or two. So this one has much more information. The second thing is that all the other travel bans didn't have a termination time, and Trump's travel ban had a 90-day window. So when you look at that and you think, well, why did the media go after him? And why did the media not mention that Reagan did this with less information that he provided for longer periods of time, and Carter did this to the Iranians, Reagan did this to Cubans, President Obama did this to people from the Middle East, and George W. Bush did this to people from the Middle East. Why is it that media blasted Trump? Why is it that these courts ruled against Trump over and over and over again? And yet, when you read this, this has been something that presidents have done because they're authorized to do it under the Constitution, number one, and authorized to do it under a federal statute. They have plenary power to impose travel restrictions, and they don't have to put a small time limit on it like President Trump did. President Trump justified his longer than any other president in history by giving more information, and he made it shorter than any other president in history by giving a short time frame instead of saying we're going to keep this, as the other presidents have done, as long as the situation requires, which is much longer. And yet the president got criticized over and over again. It really, when you read this, not only shows that the Constitution and the federal law is clearly in President Trump's corner, but it also clearly shows that the media is exceptionally biased, and some of these lower courts are exceptionally biased for buying into this anti-Trump rhetoric. This is a huge victory for President Trump and his executive power, as well as any president's executive power, but it's also a victory for the American people, because this reaffirms that securing our borders is a matter of the highest national interest, and the Constitution and the federal laws provide substantial power to the president to regulate those borders.
And we only have 20 seconds before our break here, but did the 5-4 decision on this case surprise you, or is that did you expect that?
I expected a ruling in favor of President Trump, because I knew that these other I didn't know what the split would be, but I knew that these other decisions that had come down by these other courts were just completely off base. The president has plenary authority. It's not unusual what President Trump did. He followed the tradition going all the way back to President Carter, and they named executive order after executive order after executive order. He provided more justification for it in a shorter time frame. This is by far constitutional.
And folks, we're going to pick up a little bit further on this travel ban and what the accusers are saying, like from the Council on American Islamic Relations, calling this an Islamic travel ban that's been endorsed. Well, we'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
There is no heartache equal to that of losing a loved one to suicide. Unanswered questions, despair, and perhaps self-blame can leave those behind with feelings of hopelessness. But true hope and help can be found in Christ alone. In the booklet Hope Beyond Despair, author Julie Gossick shares from personal experience how the truth of Scripture and the hope of the gospel can bring comfort to those who are living in the aftermath of suicide. She addresses what the Bible has to say on this issue and provides a lasting hope based on biblical principles. The book Hope Beyond Despair is available from VCY for a donation of $6 or 3 copies for a donation of $15. Just ask for Hope Beyond Despair when you call with your gift at 1-800-880-8255. 888-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, as we just kind of cycle back through the tape here from this hour and talking about the victory, the pro-life victory, the First Amendment victory in NIFLA versus Becerra. And if you remember just a few months ago when we had Matt on, how often we said, be praying for this U.S. Supreme Court as they render this decision. Well, folks, this decision's been rendered on behalf of life now, and it's going to go well beyond that issue to so many other issues, like Matt has said, even on the ban on conversion therapy, so-called. Take time and thank God. Matt, it's important that you know, we encourage prayer, but then when you see the victory take place there, to take time and thank God for that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did that here at Liberty Council. In fact, we even had a time where we got together and we celebrated and thanked God, because we're praying for these kinds of victories, for good decisions, for good opinions. And when we get them like this, we need to take time to thank our Lord. These are huge decisions that have huge implications.
Matt, just getting back to the travel ban and the victory for President Trump today, I also have in my hand a press release that came forth from the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE, and they were talking about this being a Muslim travel ban. Matter of fact, that's the headline. CARE decries U.S. Supreme Court's decision allowing Muslim ban to remain in effect. And then we have Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who wrote in her dissent that based on the evidence in the case, a reasonable observer would conclude that the proclamation was motivated by anti-Muslim animus. She said her colleagues arrived at the opposite result by ignoring the facts, misconstruing our legal precedent, and turning a blind eye to the pain and suffering the proclamation inflicts upon countless families and individuals, many of whom are United States citizens.
Well, you know what? The problem with both of those arguments is that they just miss the point. They're fake. In fact, that we know under this particular executive order, Venezuela, which is not Muslim, and North Korea, which is not Muslim, are also part of this executive order travel ban. And it's a temporary order, by the way. It has a specific time frame. And you can't argue that because, you know, those cases are not, those nations are not Muslim. By the way, one of the biggest Muslim countries in the Middle East was not part of this, Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have are Muslim countries that are not part of it and non-Muslim countries that are part of it. And again, you know, President Trump in his proclamation, it's 12 pages. The court went through that. President Clinton explained in one sentence why suspending entry of members of the Sudanese government and armed forces is in the foreign policy interest of the United States. So we have President Reagan, five sentences, talking about why he was banning individuals. President Obama, he had a short executive order banning various people from various countries throughout the world, including the Middle East. So, you know, all of that rhetoric is just false rhetoric, because when you look at the actual facts of this case, President Trump went further to explain the reasons, and he also exempted countries, some of which were Muslim countries, some of the largest Muslim countries in the world, and included other countries that are not Muslim as part of this temporary travel ban. He has the power to do it. This case is clearly articulated as to why, under both the federal law and the Constitution, he has the power.
Let's quickly hit another decisions that have come out this month, and it involves, and one of them was stemmed from the state of Wisconsin on gerrymandering and redistricting. The court has rendered their decision in that regard as well.
Yeah, and there's also one out of Texas as well. And what we know is that the Supreme Court has not really redone all these redistricting. They've allowed some of this redistricting to go through. In Texas, for example, they only had one district, that has to be redone. Texas has the rest of it. You know, the whole argument in these gerrymandering cases in Wisconsin as well as in Texas is that the Republicans redistrict everything so that only the Republicans could get elected. And you know what? Some of those arguments, they just were not successful this year in front of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. And then, Matt, I know also there's another decision that's being waited for. It's presumed yet this week, and that deals with unions, forced unionism.
Yeah, that's the Janus case. That could come out tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, but certainly by the end of this week, and that is the forced unionism case. If you go back a year and a half ago, in fact, go back to December of 2016, a similar union case out of California was argued, and it was predicted at the time, Scalia was on the bench at that moment, that it would be struck down 5-4. It would be a huge case that ultimately struck down forced unionism, and that would have a big impact around the country. And then, of course, Scalia died unexpectedly. So the case came out as a 4-4 split with no decision. The lower court decision was upheld. But guess what? There was a case very similar to it right behind it. It was involving forced unionism. Gorsuch has now been confirmed. That case has been argued. That's the next one coming down the pipe. And the predictions are it'll be probably the same 5-4 split to strike down forced unionism. That's going to be huge for teachers and other people that are part of the unions that have their dues confiscated from them, and then these unions use it for political promotion and supporting liberal ideological causes. That case coming down is going to have a big impact around the country, and certainly in your state there, your home state in Wisconsin, is going to have a big impact.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. If you have a question about any of these cases or a comment pertaining to them, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Their website is lc.org, lc.org. And we know, Matt, also there's yet another case that you're for our listeners in Florida and Georgia, something of significance for them as well.
Yeah, for people around the country, it may not be all that significant, but it's really a battle between two states over water rights, and it really has a broader impact. But the immediate states are Florida and Georgia. What we have is a water travel route that goes from Georgia down to Florida all the way down to the Florida Everglades. And what happened is Georgia has been siphoning off a lot of that water so it never gets to Florida and thus never gets to consumption in Florida, and also has an effect on the Everglades by not having the water go from Georgia underground all the way down to the Everglades. And so it has a big ecological as well as a individual impact on people in Florida. So the controversy never got worked out between the two states, and so there's a lawsuit between the two states. That will come down this week as well, maybe as early as tomorrow. So it's going to – the state that I'm in, obviously Florida, is going to have a big impact on Florida because we're kind of at the end of the cycle of the water. And, of course, Florida becoming such a huge state, water consumption is exceptionally important. Obviously, the Everglades has significant natural resources. And when you start diverting water from one state to the next and you don't take into consideration your adjoining neighbors, there are problems. And that's the case coming up before the U.S. Supreme Court. That'll come down tomorrow or certainly this week.
Okay, we're going to the phone lines here today. But, folks, again, significant cases being decisions rendered from the U.S. Supreme Court today. Victory for pregnancy centers, not just California, but certainly the implications all across the nation. And also victories on behalf of morality and decency and First Amendment rights as it relates to those entities that are trying to ban what's called conversion therapy. And so the implications on that as well. Let's go right to the phone lines. We've got Bob calling in from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Bob, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to address the decision handed down that supported freedom of speech. Recently, Milwaukee Common Council voted to make a counseling for gender confusion illegal.
Right.
Will that crush that idea?
Yes, it will. And we have other cases pending. We were the ones that actually brought the original case out in California, and then the second case in the country out of New Jersey. Both those cases are now specifically mentioned in this case as being in conflict with the First Amendment. We have cases pending other places around the country. We're also looking at the one in your state as well. So every place that these things are, we will attack them. We will file suit because they are dangerous. They interfere with a person's right to get proper counseling that is very helpful to them, and the government has no business doing that. I can tell you what, having our cases specifically on that issue mentioned in today's Supreme Court decision will also send a shockwave to these governments that are considering enacting these bans. Any government that does so now, after this decision, is absolutely foolish because they will be attacked and they'll have to end up paying lots of attorney's fees for their unconstitutional acts.
Thank you, Bob.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for that. And Matt, were you surprised when you saw your cases referred to?
Yeah, well, I was surprised. I knew I had predicted that this NIFLA case would ultimately go the right way, and I knew that we would have our crisis pregnancy center cases that we would have as a victory here. But I did not know. Nobody would predict that our cases would actually be mentioned in this decision and that it would be mentioning it in the context of this decision, but referencing the situations in these counseling bans. So that's like a much added bonus, and it was great when I came across page 7. I was ecstatic to see what the court said.
Let's go to the state of Oregon, and Chuck, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm kind of surprised because in light of the Book of Revelation, chapter 13, where it says, no man might buy or sell, I have always viewed that as no man might buy or sell the true gospel. So I just expected to see that these courts would keep ruling against free speech.
Chuck, the passage is actually referring to actual commerce taking place there in the Book of Revelation. But keep in mind, I mean, what, 2 Timothy 3 still applies. You know, perilous times will come. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And the Word of God has not become null or no effect. But, Matt, what we have also seen, like even when Jonah went around Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, the people's hearts turned. They repented and turned.
Right.
And so God spared that city at that time.
That's right. God ultimately, in his gracious mercy, spared that city. And ultimately they repented and they got reprieve. And, you know, I don't know what point in history we are at right now,
right.
But certainly I'm not hoping that we're going to run into a brick wall. I'm praying for revival every day, working for revival every day, and pray that it comes. However, if it doesn't, you know, I'm prepared also for that consequence. You know, as Jim, you said, those verses are in the context of commerce. And, you know, what are we seeing right now in the context of this clash with the LGBT agenda?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to buy. They don't want you to participate in the marketplace.
Right.
You know, we've already seen, for example, some of the social media. We already saw PayPal, for example, shut down people's commerce activity over the LGBT issue because you're listed on the SPLC's hate map or hate list. So, you know, we already experienced some of what your caller was just talking about, but we need to fight back, and we can have some victories along the way. We pray that we have a revival as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chuck. We're up against a break. We're going to be back in just 1 minute with more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. We're talking about significant decisions from the United States Supreme Court, and folks, continue praying. Continue to be praying for this nation, and be praying for the court. There's going to be another whole slate of cases that will be coming up here in the next term as well that begins this fall. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com.
Recently, the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination or association in America, elected what they say is the youngest president of their association in their entire history. His name is J.D. Greer. He's a young millennial that is embracing and promoting such things as white privilege and social justice. These are the issues of cultural Marxism. In fact, in his book published in 2011, Gospel, he says that he dedicates the book in part to Tim Keller, stating, quote, "To Tim Keller, whose thinking has so permeated my own that I can no longer really tell where his stops and mine starts," end quote. He also quotes positively in the book none other than Rob Bell, who's known as one of the emergent church leaders who denies essential Christian doctrines. My friends, Paul warns us, I believe, of men just like this who've risen from within, and we're to mark and we're to warn. I'm Brandon House.
I don't know about you folks, but I'm thankful that there's a Liberty Council. I'm glad that they are there to represent the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and certainly fighting for our First Amendment rights, fighting for the family and family values. And you can be in contact with them at lc.org, lc.org. Friends, these cases, they're not cheap to litigate, and there's many hours in research and travel and study and much that has gone through to make these cases move forward through the courts and to address them. And by all means, be in contact with Liberty Council, lc.org, or by calling them at 407-875-1776. Daniel is calling in from Loveland, Wisconsin. Daniel, you're on the air.
Much, Jim. Thank you for having all these educational programs. We probably wouldn't learn about these cases without you doing this. And, Matt, I would just like to thank you so much for your work and especially your emphasis and your prayer for revival. That is so important that we do that. And so just to share my view is I don't see this as a win for us, but God is blessing. God is blessing. He's blessing your work.
Right.
And this is proper government working according to Romans 13.
Yeah. No, you're right. So, you're right. And, it is a blessing. We need to count our blessings. And, you know, when we have a victory like this, we can't just say, well, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps.
Right.
It's because we did this or that. We made this argument. This is a real blessing from our Lord.
Amen.
This is a life, and this case involved life and death. Life and death.
Yes.
And we can thank the Lord for this great result.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Richard from Grand Junction, Colorado, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much for Matt being on. Thank God for Matt Staver and Liberty Council for this victory. And I believe you're there?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm here.
Okay. I just wanted to be thankful for the victory God has given. Yes, it's just a temporary one and certainly nothing to rest our laurels on.
Right.
But just one quick comment about the unbelievable logic so-called by a Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor in completely denying the obvious truth of President Trump's case. It just is appalling. Lord bless you both.
Thank you. And that's a good point here too, Matt, because it really shows the bias or the worldview that justices like Sotomayor are coming from.
Yeah, and understand only a fraction of cases actually get to the U.S. Supreme Court because they only take about 80 cases or so a year. So there's a lot of justices or judges that were appointed by President Obama that are still out there in the courts that have the same kind of ideology. And a lot of those decisions still happen, and they don't make it to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's why it's important, and it's important this upcoming midterm election, that we have good people in Congress, particularly in the Senate, because there's going to be a vacancy coming open in the U.S. Supreme Court, maybe more than one. And it's important who serves in that court, not just in that court, but on the courts of appeals, in the lower courts. And the president can nominate them, but he has to have a Senate that will confirm them. And that's why every time we as Christians, people of faith and moral values, need to vote these values, because elections do have consequences. Sotomayor was nominated by President Obama. We were, when we had that election with Obama in 2008, one election away from overturning Roe versus Wade. I can tell you right now, we are one midterm election away from overturning abortion. If one of those five justices, which include Kennedy, step down, retire, are gone from the bench, and another justice is nominated and confirmed like Gorsuch, the brutal history of abortion in this country will be reversed, because we'll go back to the original understanding of the Constitution, which does not give a right to kill your unborn child.
Rick is calling on the air. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, it seems like there's a bigger picture if we zoom out a little bit more, because if we look at the Declaration of Independence, it seems that all of these court problems could be resolved if simply people would just follow the Declaration of Independence. I mean, after all, the reason that the Declaration of Independence doesn't seem to be followed is we've had 89 and a half years of legalized slavery, we've had abortion, we've had criminalized marijuana. So there's a reason why that this Declaration of Independence needs to be started for the very first time in this country. It's never been in place, has it?
Well, it has. I mean, there's been a lot of courts decisions up until the more 1960s U.S. Supreme Court decisions that ultimately cited the Declaration of Independence. And actually, even some of the drafters of the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution said that it was part and parcel of the Constitution. It was basically almost the foundation of the Constitution. I think that's correct. But when we have judges or justices that don't follow the Constitution, they're not going to follow the Declaration of Independence. And that's the problem that we have, and that's why we need good justices and justices that will follow the Constitution and follow the laws as they're written.
Tom is calling from Port Wing. You're on the air, Tom.
Good afternoon. Just like Dred Scott could not stand, Obergefell cannot stand because it's not based on anything truthful or just. And I would like to ask, this lie that there was a groundswell of homosexual men that were wanting to be married, do you have any numbers as to how many homosexual marriages we've had since the Obergefell decision?
Yeah, good question on both. I think Obergefell will be in the same trash bin of history like Dred Scott and some of these other horrible decisions that were not based upon the Constitution. I don't have the exact numbers, but what I can say is when we trace the numbers in the Netherlands and then in Canada and now in the United States, it's only a small number, particularly of males, that ever went to get a marriage license, a very small number. That is still true in the United States. It wasn't to ultimately get marriage for what marriage represents, lifelong monogamous relationship to another person, it's to your spouse. It's never been about that. It's been about destroying, redefining the institution so that you can also have the government not only affirm, but force others to affirm your lifestyle and your behavior. That's what it's always been about. It's not about protecting the marriage institution. It's about destroying the marriage institution, and that's why you don't see a lot of people rushing to the altar to get married of the same sex, and even today. And whether it's here, Canada, Europe, the Netherlands, it's all the same.
Tom, thank you for the call. Our guest, Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, the website lc.org. Matt, as always, we appreciate your analysis. We appreciate your work and your dedication here to uplifting the tenets of Scripture. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.